Last week we spoke on change. I talked about God is doing a new thing. Do we want it? God is doing a new thing. If we are negative, we won't see it. How many remember the message last week? God is doing a new thing. Will we pay the price? And so this week, I want to just remind us, you know, God, we are in a long line of God picking the least to do the most. We're in a long line of people. David was picked, he was a shepherd boy, 14 years old, picked to deliver Israel. Joseph was picked the least of all the people. David was laid hands on. They went through his whole brothers, and then they said, "Do you have any other sons?" And they said, "Yeah, we have David. He's out in the field." And he was brought in. I believe God's picking new life for this area for signs, wonders, and miracles. And I've been one that has known the power of God my whole life. I don't know if I ever told this story about me being climbing inside of a hill, strip mines, and I was racing my brother up the hill. I don't remember how old I was. It was probably around 10 years old, 10, 11 years old. And I fell backwards. I left the side of the sheer cliff. I was climbing on rocks. And it was about a 30-foot drop on the shell and rocks on the bottom. May not have died, but I possibly could have. 30 feet is a long way on rock. And I felt a hand press against my back and push me in. He'll hold me against the wall until I got my grip again. And it so affected me, I never said anything to anybody for years. I thought I was nuts. And then I look back on that and see the hand of God. When I was 17 and a half years old, I dove off a diving board, 20-foot board, into water. I had my hands wrapped in inner tubes. My feet were in, and my hands were in. I was half drunk. And my head went down, my feet come up. I almost drowned. They pulled me out. Just about died there. I said all that to say this, that God has picked the least to do the most. And I know that God's hand was on Terry and I when he brought us here. God's hand's on you because you're here. And we're reluctant. We're reluctant, but that's the way we're supposed to be. Gideon was thrashing wheat in a wine press because he was scared of the enemy. The Midianites were coming, and Gideon was there. And the angel of the Lord came. Jesus came to him, the pre-incarnate Christ came to him and said, "Oh, mighty man of valor." He said, "Who are you talking to? I'm the least of the least." But God is picking us because somebody has got to move forward in signs, wonders, and miracles, and we're it. I don't know why we're it. I keep trying to ask God, "Are you sure?" Because, look, we've got, you know, I'm just a little old fuzzball from Pennsylvania. I don't know. I'm nobody. How many's nobody in here? We're, a lot of us are towards, you know, we're at a place in our lives where we go, can we just cruise through to the end? But we're being asked to come forward and take the front line and move ahead in signs, wonders, and miracles that the Lord wants us to. I really believe that. If there's anything that I could say about this coming year or two, there's going to be tremendous moves of God. And if we don't want it, He'll give it to somebody else. But how many know? I want to be right there on the front line doing it. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 1, and if you don't have the app and you need notes, could somebody pass these out? If you don't have the app to go to, it's on the app, the Bible app. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 1. If we are to seize the moment, we must walk in the new covenant with its promises. And we've got to know, in stepping out, you got to know who you are. Amen. You got to know who you are. When Peter was asked to go after fishing all night, he had to know he was being obedient to the Lord. But when he cast that net, he had to know who he was. Ephesians 1, I love the book of Ephesians. It's kind of, this is probably a rehearsal for a lot of you that you've read it many times, but let's read it again together. "Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith," verse 15 of chapter 1, in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Amen. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Who's the church? Say, I'm the church. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. See, the tactic of the enemy is for us to believe he has power to oppress, attack, and otherwise retard the forward motion of the kingdom. Nothing could be further from the truth. The enemy has no power whatsoever. And he's wielded this false power so long, he's got us in a place, kind of painted us into the corner. I'm talking about the church at large. But Paul prays that we would have the spirit of revelation to know who we are. It's good for us to know who we are in Christ. The spirit of revelation, it's a new covenant perk. It's a new covenant perk to know who we are, the spirit of revelation, that we have all power over all the enemy. See, the only power he has is with the lost. The only power he has is with the governments of this world, the tactics of this world. He doesn't have power over me at all. Any false teaching that says he does, that he has power over the church, he has no power over the church. Zero power over the church. Let me say it again. The enemy has no power over the church. If we're fighting him for power, we're fighting a battle that's already been won. It's already in the win column. Because my Lord made a shame of him openly on the cross. Period. It was done. When he said those words, it's finished, he meant it's finished. And if I'm battling him for things that I've already won, I'm wasting my breath, my time, and my effort. He doesn't have any power over the church. He doesn't have any power in my life at all whatsoever. He can attack. He thinks he's got power, but he doesn't have any power. And if I don't bind him, and if I don't tell him to leave, he'll just keep... He's like one of those little chihuahuas, you know? They just don't get it. Get away from me. And they just keep nipping at your heels because they're stupid. They got the brains of a chihuahua. See? The eyes of our understanding, he says, enlighten. We are too stuck in the old covenant. We are no longer under the old covenant. It doesn't take 21 days for prayers to be answered. When we pray, God hears. When we pray in his will, he answers. Come on, somebody. We got to stop this 21-day, 7 days around Jericho thinking. We have authority now in Jesus' name. See, if we believe that we have authority that's going to take time, it's really not authority. Come on, someone. We talk about this police bus. Can you imagine if they pulled over the truck and they say, no, we got a check. Now, what we're going to do is give you this paper, and we need you to call us in 10 hours because we got a check and see if we have the authority to bust you. Make sure to call us now. So we have authority now in Jesus' name. And we've been perpetrated, the lie has been perpetrated for us. Daniel waited 21 days because he was under the old covenant. There's battle in the heavenlies. How many know the battle has been won? Amen. Ain't nobody attacking Jesus tonight, I can tell you that. I said there's nobody attacking Jesus tonight. Amen. And I'm in him. And he's in me. We are walking in divine authority that was won at the cross. It does not need to be battled over again. Look over in Ephesians 2. And it's just a reminder tonight. Just a friendly reminder of what power we have. Because if we think we've got an enemy to defeat before we move in power, we got an earth thing coming. what we're doing is negating everything that Christ did and saying that we need to do what He already did. The only time that happens is when I'm cleaning the house. I clean the house, my wife comes behind me and says, "Did you clean this? Because it don't look very clean." Said, "It looks clean to me." Jesus already did it, see? It's already done. If it's done, it's done good. It's not done to the point where, well, it was done, it was effective 200 years ago or 100 years ago, or somebody moved in more power. The only reason anybody moved in more power previously to this day is because they took the word at its truth. Ephesians 2:2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, say once, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Is anybody in this room in the sons of disobedience? Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So let's look at some things. Number one, we have been made alive and in union with Christ Jesus. My existence is nowhere to be found unless it's in Christ Jesus. I've said it 100 times. You'll hear me say it 100 times again. I can't go back and get the old man. He's dead and buried. So I can't be the old man. I can only be who I am in Christ. But we've succeeded in our generation in the last 30 or 40 years. The church has succeeded in making a alternate universe for other believers where nothing really happens. We just always talk about it. We talk about the possibilities of it happening. We certainly release our faith in that realm. But when it comes time to it, the enemy has fooled us into believing we need special people. We need the man of God. We need the woman of God to come. Go look in the mirror. You are the woman of God. You are the man of God. It's Jesus in us, see? I understand about gifts. I understand about calling. I understand about fivefold ministry. But we all have that, see? We have been made alive and in union with Christ. Number two, we are no longer under the dictates of the devil. Nothing that the devil says can affect me unless I let it. He has no power over me. Say it. He has no power over me. But man, we said in prayer meetings, we talk about it. Say, oh, the devil's got, I know he's got the land, or this nation. He's got the nation in his grip because they don't believe, but he ain't got me. And I'm supposed to rescue the nation. Amen. That's what I'm here for. We are no longer, number three, following nor under the control of demons. Demon has no power in me. If the devil doesn't have any power, his cohorts don't have any power. Only to the extent. You know where the biggest battle is? Right here. We do more battle in between our ears than anything we can do for demons. The demons have been defeated. But what they do is cause our thoughts to say, we're not good enough, we weren't really healed, we're not really saved, and the battle is right here between our two ears. But I battled so much I lost my hair. No, I'm just kidding. We are no longer following nor under control of demons. Number four, we no longer live in a corrupt and sensual nature. Verses 4 and 5 of Ephesians. Look what it says. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. Number five, we are no longer obeying the lust of the flesh or the thoughts of the mind. If we're Christians, and we are no longer obeying the lust of the flesh. If you are, you're not walking in the newness that Christ has made. Number six, we have been given the life of Christ Himself. The same life that quickened Him, that raised Him from the dead, lives in me.
Glory.
Lives in me. It's nothing that I've got to stir up. It's nothing that I've got to ask God, okay, if you would reactivate the life now. The life was activated when you said, Jesus, come live in me. He's very much alive now. And He's living in me. Think about that. The greatest power of the universe is given to us to activate. It's activated to use it any time. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. But my weapons are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, what strongholds are they talking about? Right here. It's the stronghold right here. Not a stronghold of the devil. The devil's already been defeated. We go fighting after apparitions. They don't exist. We've made them exist. People have gotten rich off of writing books about them existing. They no longer exist. They're defeated foes. But what they've done is send their vomit out into the church where we believe that crap. They're dead. They're gone. They're defeated. But we've created these monsters that we got to fight. Because if we do that, we never really do the good work. We can talk about the fake monsters we beat, taking credit for what Jesus already did. It's like being in a warfare, seeing a corpse of the enemy and going and shooting and say you killed him. He's already dead. Number seven, we have been raised up together with Him and seated with Him, for we are in Christ. We are in Christ. Nobody's going to fuss with Him. He's already there. And I'm in Him. Number eight, we show the Father's grace in our lives. Immeasurable, countless, surpassing grace. Watch what verse 7 says. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Kindness? How does He show His kindness? We walk in victory. Man, if our generation would ever walk, and we're challenged. Because if God is sending us out to do signs and wonders in this community and be the church of signs and wonders, we best know who we are in Christ. We best know who we are in Christ. And verse 10 says, we are His workmanship. I'd like to know who can criticize God's work. Could you imagine testing God after He's made you? God, do you do a good job?
Where were you when I made the heavens? Where were you when I told the seas where boundaries?
And guess what? He made me. He made me. He created me for His glory. And it says we are ordained to walk in those works in verse 10. Look what it says. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He left nothing to chance. Where did we ever get the idea that the devil has free access to us and that we must fight him for everything? Where did we ever get this ungodly, unscriptural viewpoint? Where did it come from? It came from the enemy. God didn't say it. Jesus didn't say, go into all the world and fight the devil. He said, go into all the world and do what? Make disciples. Why would He give us a command to do what we can't do because we got to fight the enemy? Don't you think His command, if we had to do that, all this warfare we talk about? I understand we're doing warfare for the souls of men because the enemy's got them. But when we go after the enemy, he's a loser. He already lost. Again, the biggest battle will we ever be in is the one of our minds. And because we've bought the lie for so many years, the church as a whole, we've got to retrain ourselves. We will walk in what the mind believes. So to walk in victory, we must change what the mind believes. Our battle for souls cannot be won if we continue to fight battles that have already been won. The battle will rage if we do not put a stop to it. And so the question is tonight, just leaving you with the question, who do you identify with? Who do you identify with? Do you identify with a defeated person? Because if you are, you'll be defeated. God has transported us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. It's like, do we want to go back to the darkness? Not me. The fear that the enemy will come and take what we have and put us in bondage is Old Testament thinking. And we get this thinking that if we miss God for a couple days, the enemy is going to come and take us prisoner. That's Old Testament thinking. The nation of Israel paid for their sins and went back into captivity time and time again because Jesus hadn't died for their sins yet. What's the Bible say? The Bible says if we sin, we're forgiven and we're placed back in great position with God. Amen. That's right. Turn over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Paul writing the church of Ephesus, which, by the way, was a mighty church. Church of Ephesus was a mighty church. They had it together. There were, a lot of people were being won to the Lord. And Paul reminds them in verse 17 of Ephesians 4. He said, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their, what? Their mind. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past filling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's what happens when we forget who we are in Christ. We begin to move in the flesh. Begin to try to control things. And we make up little warfares that we win. I thank God that Jesus won the war already. Now my fight is for the souls of men. And all I really have to do there is cast the net in the right place. Come on, somebody. Peter fished all night. Jesus said, cast your net on the right side of the boat. You didn't have to work at it. He cast his net and immediately the net was full. We are not struggling for victory, my friend. We already got it. We already got the victory. Let's walk as victors. Come on, somebody. We could stand just a little bit of good pride. I'm a victor in Christ. I'm proud of what Jesus made me. Come on. Number one, we have power. Let me just read a couple verses very quickly. Number one, we have power. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So the power is God, but it's in me. Woo-hoo! I'm an earthen vessel full of power. It's like digging up an earthen vessel and finding $202,000 in cash, you know. Number two, we have overcome the enemy, past tense. Already done. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. On Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Or in church on Sunday, that's when he's greater. Or when I've really had a good prayer time, that's when he's greater. No, he's greater all the time. If God is greater, he's greater all the time. He's not greater some of the time. He's not greater when we feel like he's greater. He's greater, that's his character, and he lives in me. He's greater all the time. 24/7, 365 days a year. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If the enemy attacks me, he's attacking the wrong person. Come on, somebody. We are called, number three, to do greater works. John 14:12 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, Jesus said, the works that I do, he will do also. I don't see anybody's special name in there. He who believes in me, do you believe in Christ? The works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Greater works, greater works, greater works, greater works, greater works. Who's involved with that? You. You're involved with a church that's being asked to step out and take the front line of winning souls and bringing signs and wonders back to this community. And if he's asking us to do it, that's what we need to do. Number four, we have been given authority over the enemy. Luke 10:19, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. 10 foot tall and bulletproof. I'm a force to be reckoned with in the enemy. See? Because I've already been given the victory. He's already been defeated. He may be an idiot and try to attack me, but I bind him. Resist the devil, and what happens? Number five, we have the power of the resurrection resident within us. What's Romans 8:11? I made reference to it just a little bit ago. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Hoo-hoo! He who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. We have the power of the resurrection resident within us. I'd like to know what greater power there is than to raise somebody from the dead. That's pretty powerful stuff. And that is resident within me. Turn to somebody and say, the power of the resurrection lives in me. We're going to see bodies healed. Danny's going to get up and walk out of that wheelchair. Why? Because the power of God is resident in him. See? Number six, we are overcomers. We are not becoming overcomers. We're already overcomers. Why? Watch what it says. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him. We are already overcomers. We're not becoming, we're not trying to get to the overcoming place. We're already overcomers. That takes great faith. That's right. More than conquerors.
More than conquerors, that's it.
Romans 8:37.
You know what that is?
I get some of that money, don't I, if I get beat up? I don't have to give it all to her. We're overcomers.
Amen.
We're not becoming overcomers, we're overcomers. Walk as an overcomer. Walk as an overcomer. Make up your mind. Get this battle won right here. I'm an overcomer. I'm not having to fight for my position. I am an overcomer. Yeah. I've won. I got the medal. It's already there. I've got the place in heaven. It's already there. Number seven, we have the authority to loose and to bind. Matthew 6:16-19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind. We have to watch what we bind. Because God's given us authority. If we bind it, it's bound. Come on, somebody.
Glory.
And whatever you bind on earth, we bind in heaven. Whatever you loose, will be loose in heaven. We have weapons at our disposal that will assure victorious living. Here's your weapons right here. Every one of us has got them. Number one, praise and worship. Man, worship the Lord. Turn to, man, when I come, I'll catch Terry listening to praise and worship all the time. I come in the house on a Saturday, our house is filled with praise and worship. Man, there's so much peace in the house. Why? Because there ain't an enemy worth his salt that's going to be around that. They don't want to be around praise of the King. Because that reminds them of their end. When they'll all be in the lake of fire. So they don't want to be around praise and worship. Number two is giving. Give yourself to joy. Not only, I'm not talking just about money, times, talent, treasure. All that you've got, give to the Lord. It's a weapon. That's why Jesus said, if somebody wants your coat, give them your cloak. Somebody wants your shoes, give them your shirt. Just give, 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 give. God, you never outgive God. Number three, the Word of God. Man, the Word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Come on, somebody. Get the Word of God. Speak the Word of God. When you get in a situation, speak the Word of the Lord. A weapon, the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. He'll lead and guide you. He'll tell you not to. Terry and I were thinking about doing a major thing this last week. We talked about making a major step in our life, which would cost us some money and make a major step. And I just couldn't get a peace about it. Just couldn't get a peace about it. We almost did it. Went, almost pulled the trigger, and I just couldn't get a peace about it. And the Holy Spirit just said, no, it's not time. Don't do it. Okay, it's not time. The Holy Spirit's our best friend. And He's a powerful friend. He'll never lead us astray. Fifthly, we have the name of Jesus. Wow. You know, if every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord, how many know that's a powerful thing when we say the name of Jesus? We speak the name of Jesus in any situation, it's going to straighten out and be clear. Believe it, it's going to be clear. Number six, the blood of Jesus. I hear people pleading the blood of Jesus. I don't get that. I never understood pleading the blood. Never understood it. I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. Plead the blood. Just apply the blood. You don't need to plead it. It's already been shed. Why plead something that's already been... Please give me the blood of Christ. No, it's already been shed. Only been shed once. We use the blood of Christ. We apply the blood of Christ to situation. We get this thing of pleading. But we're not in a courtroom. Our court's already been settled. Right? Our courts are... Yeah, apply the blood. Anyway, it's just my little pet peeve. I'm sorry. So the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus doesn't cover sin. It eradicates sin. The blood of Jesus doesn't put a band-aid on a wound. It heals the wound. The blood of Jesus doesn't keep things at bay. It gets rid of things. Not only that, we have angels. Father, dispatch angels. Come on, someone. Number eight, we have prayer. Yes. Warring angels. I was in a meeting last year. I don't know. I think Gene was there. First thing over in Ohio. Were you there, Gene? We went to Ohio for that. And they released confusing angels. Remember that? You were there too. Confusing angels. How many know? Boy, there's been a lot of confusion in the camp of the Democrats and the camp of all this. Because confusing angels were released. When we ask God to dispatch angels, that's what they're there for. They're ministering. They're ministering to us. They're our servants. So we ask God to dispatch angels. How many know angels are dispatched? Prayer. And just talk to God. Whatever you ask, believing, you shall receive. Woo! God reminded me that this morning. Whatever you ask, believing, you shall receive. Your mouth is a weapon for both ways. How many know? Sometimes we say things, and I know I'm not the only one, but I've spoke things that I just want to go and put it back in real quick. Because once I speak it, I got to deal with it. And bite your tongue, bite your lip, whatever you got to do. Only speak what the Word of God says. Don't speak in any situation negative. Your declarations, there it is. I declare that I'm a son of God. I declare that I have victory over the enemy. I declare that I'm healthy. I declare that I'm... Come on, somebody. Our declarations. Or our testimony. What kind of a life are you living in? Are you giving a good... Can you give a good testimony about 20 years ago or about 2 hours ago? Well, I used to do this 20 years ago. Yeah, but what did you do an hour ago? What's your testimony? And then a weapon that we forget about is the table of the Lord. When we have communion, we remember Christ's death and His resurrection. That's a powerful weapon against the enemy. That's a clearinghouse. Paul says, examine yourself to see. And when we do that, God cleanses us. That's a mighty weapon. Win the battle of the mind and you will walk in victory. Every temptation known to man is first presented to this place right here. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 11:3, I fear lest somehow as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know what simplicity means in the Greek? Simplicity. Means it's simple. Just believe it. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to go third level theology to figure it out. Jesus said, we have the victory. Okay, I got the victory. I just simply need to believe. Satan's strategy is to attack the mind with full force, and that's what he'll do. Is it possible to have, it's possible to have a new heart and new life, but an old head. It's possible to have a new heart and a new life, we got an old head. We think old head, old thoughts. Corrupt our minds. Who controls my mind? Why can't I control my thoughts? Why does the enemy get the upper hand and have me believing a lie? That's because we're weak in the mind. We need to strengthen our mind. We have the mind of Christ. Come on, somebody. We have the mind of Christ. Man, the Lord's just been after me the last couple weeks. Man, don't think like, because I get, man, I get thinking about vision and purpose and outlay and all that God's called me to do and effect and thing. And I get to this place where I say, God, it's impossible. He says, of course it's impossible. That's why you're in me. Because you couldn't do it on your own. Stop saying it's impossible. I can do it. Just trust me. Yep, rubbing my hair. Anytime you get a thought that's not supposed to be there, comes in your consciousness that you never intended, stop it immediately. Do not let it take hold. Keep your mind disciplined. Take every thought into captivity. Take every thought into captivity. No matter how hard it is, if you've got to stay awake till 3 o'clock in the morning, take it into captivity. Don't let it take hold of your mind. Don't let those negative, the enemy comes in and says, you're going to die or you're going to say, no, I'm not. In Jesus' name, I'm not. You have everything you need. All you got to do is apply it. All you got to do is apply it. Come on, someone. It's as ridiculous as if you're driving around in town, you pass 3 gas stations and you forget to get gas, run out of gas. Whose fault is it? Yeah, it's a gas station. Well, I was in the gas station right outside my house. That stupid car. Look, it ran out of gas. Whose fault is it? It's my fault. See? But you know what? It's so easy to get over. Just confess to the Lord. Lord, remind me who I am in you. Jesus, remind me. And that's His job. It's to remind. He's put us into remembrance. The Holy Spirit will speak to us. The Holy Spirit, remember what Jesus said. The Holy Spirit will tell us everything that He said. All we got to do is be open to the Holy Ghost. We don't need to turn, you know, to remind the Holy Spirit, could you tell me again who I am? Holy Spirit's telling us all the time who we are. That's His job. And when we lack understanding, we ask. It doesn't mean we're not attacked. I'm not trying to say that. But every attack brings a victory. Every attack brings a victory. And puts a puncture hole in the enemy again and again and again. And he's stupid. He'll keep coming back just like the chihuahua. Keep coming back, but he has no authority. And no teeth. Chihuahuas are funny. They're even funnier when they're toothless. Oof, oof. Has nothing in me. Amen? Father, teach us, Lord. There's a time that you're calling us to. I'm looking at great men and women of God, giants in the faith. Lord, we just need to remind ourselves who we are. And we do that tonight. Lord, it's good to reflect in your word, to look in the mirror, know who we are in you, Jesus. And Father, I thank you for the victory that you've given us. We're impassioned about your kingdom. God, we're people that you can trust. We'll cast the net. Just tell us where to go. We'll do what you call us to do. Lord, activate us in our faith again. Lord, cause those who call new life their home to be stirred up. We pray for those who couldn't be here tonight. Pray for a stirring in their hearts as well. And other churches, all Christians in this area. That Lord, we would awaken to the day that we're in. And seize the moment, Father. This is the greatest moment in all of history. I believe that. I believe you're getting ready to pour out your spirit. We'll see the greatest move of God we ever saw. Father, we thank you that this world has ever seen is coming upon us. We thank you for that. And you called us for this generation and this time and this purpose and this place. God, I love these people so much. Lord, fill them, Lord, with faith. Fill them with hope. Fill each of us, Father, as we walk according to your loving kindness and mercy, and that we'd walk in obedience, in power, so that we finish the work. that you have us to finish. Walk in the completed works, God, that you've already done. God, that you have given us to do. Lord, what a wonderful thing that you have us be partakers of your divine nature. Lord, we thank you. Bless you, Father. Hide the word in our hearts that we've had tonight. Lord, I pray for this stirring, that it would stir us to action in everything we do. Father, I thank you for meeting and surpassing every need in this congregation tonight. Father, meet everybody's prayers, O God. Lord, thank you for the victory you've given us in our head, that we might walk in victory. As Danny said, we'll give the money to others, O God. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.